every verse, every line, all the blessings of this love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Go ahead and turn over to page 78. When we all get to heaven, page 78. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Sing out, church! And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Church, would you think with me for just a second about that day when we truly get to heaven? Can you imagine what a day that'll be, just like the song says? Let's sing out on that last song and really think about what the Lord has prepared for us there. Amen. Sing out this morning.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen.
Amen. My favorite part of that song, it says, when we all see Jesus. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. So thank you for singing out this morning. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the joy and the privilege to be in your house. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we know that you have prepared a place for us. Lord, for those that have received you and accepted you as their Savior, Lord, if there's one here this morning that has not done that, we pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. Father, we just pray that you be with us today. Ask for your blessing on the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I'm glad to see you here today, and I hope you're excited about the Lord today. If you've got nothing else to be excited about today, you can be excited about Him. Amen. And by what He's done for you. I think we said Wednesday night or maybe the other day, last Sunday, I'm not sure. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have something to be thankful for. Amen. How many can say that I've been saved this morning, preacher? Amen. God has saved my soul. Then praise God, you have something to be thankful for today. All right. Well, let's go ahead. Connor, why don't you come back and lead us in another song? Amen.
Turn to page 75. Turn to page 75. Sweet By and By, page 75. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore of the mountain songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. On the last, to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love, and the shadow hollow our days. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Couple young ladies that are going to help us with our noisy bucket this morning. Would you girls come this morning? All right. Let's ask a blessing on the noisy bucket. Lord, we thank you for today. I ask for your blessing on this, Lord, that God, it can go to the building and the work here at Florence Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A quick announcements, and then we'll have our offertory song here in just a moment. Tonight we are going to be doing our ice cream fellowship this evening, and I think Miss Judy, did you want to come up and sing tonight? Is that what you were saying, sister? I said we're going to have you sing for your birthday, right? Amen. No, come back tonight. We'll celebrate. Really, this is for January. We postponed it a week because of the sickness and everything like that. But we'll have that this evening. And then next Tug be here at the church on February the 11th. And so we're looking forward to that time here for the teenagers. And then, of course, the next Noisy Bucket and Ice Cream Fellowship will be towards the end of February. March the 4th, be a gospel singing here on a Friday evening with Mark and Andrea Forster here at the church. And I know that'll be a good evening of just gospel singing. Come out and put that on your calendar and plan on praising the Lord that day. All right? Now let's have another song, and this will be our regular offertory hymn. All right? Come on.
Let's turn to page 35. He is Lord, page 35.
From the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I could have two ushers come to the front, please. If y'all will bow your heads with me. God, we're so thankful for another opportunity, God, to gather in your house, Lord, and worship you. Father, I pray you please bless this offering, Lord. Bless the giver. We'll use it for your glory, and we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all will stand one more time with me. Turn to page 56, the old rugged cross, page 56.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen.
Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
On the last.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. You may be seated.
We have a couple specials, two specials this morning. Which one is this first this morning? Are you ladies coming? Okay, ladies, why don't you come on?
Test.
You want to use this right here?
There is coming a
his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There will be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Got a big blessing out of that this morning. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. That was a blessing. That's right. You got to go hug Grandpa for that one. Amen. That was good. Thank you so much, ladies. I think we've got it. The fellas have got a song here that they're doing. Come on, gentlemen. Yeah. You can do that. Or either one.
Some doubt his birth was of a virgin, some think his miracles could be explained away, some say that he was just a good man, that even though he died, he wasn't really raised. Skeptics rise, speak their lies, truth is marching on. A truth is marching on down the corridors of time, invincible, divine, until all that's false is finally gone. Truth is marching on. There will always be cynics and scoffers. Our faith is always had its noisy enemy.
They will rise up,
but only for a moment, 'cause we see evidence through the centuries. Jesus Christ, the way, the life, truth is marching on. A truth is marching on down the corridors of time, invincible, divine, until all that's false is finally gone. Truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Truth is marching on. Truth is marching on. Corridors of time,
invincible divine, until all that's false is finally gone. Truth is marching on.
All right, I sure do appreciate those specials this morning. Amen. All right. All right. It's good to be in church this morning. Glad to have you here. And I do see that there is one or two first-time visitors. I want you to know we're honored to have you here this morning at Florence Baptist Church. And you are a special guest today. Thank you for being with us here today and worshiping in the Lord's house. And we pray that we can try to be a help and encouragement to you. And if we can be a help at any time, please let us know. But we're so glad to have you. Glad to have you here, the faithful that are here regular. I know some of you have been under the weather, and we've still got several that are under the weather with different sickness and other things going on, and we sure do miss them, and but we'll be glad to have you all back soon. If you got your Bibles, would you go with us to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 10 this morning, and probably a familiar passage of Scripture for any child of God who has taken time to study the Word of God here in Ephesians chapter 6. And when you found your place, if you are able to stand in reading of the Word of God, we will ask you to do that if you're able to in Ephesians chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me read that verse again, church. It's really, this is our foundational or our key text this morning. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've often said before, I appreciate what's in the Word of God, but I'm also thankful sometimes what's not there. I'm glad that we don't have to rely on our own power in this spiritual warfare that we're in, church. Verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse number 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the privilege, for the joy to be in your house today. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would minimize distractions, that we, for just the next few moments, be able to focus on the message at hand. God, that we can focus on the Word. Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your guidance today. I pray that you remove us out of the way. Let us not be a hindrance today. Lord, if there's one here today that's never trusted in you as their personal Savior for salvation, God, I pray that you can convict them of their need. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I alluded to some of this again the other night, and in fact, we were in Ephesians chapter 5. If you were here or if you were able to tune in via live stream, and we dealt with a few things there in Ephesians chapter 5 about waking up, and partly in light of the fact that we are in a spiritual warfare today, church. Amen. Don't kid yourself. We are in a spiritual warfare. And what we're reading here, in fact, if you have some of the notes in your Bible, I happen to have a Scofield reference, a King James Bible, and it talks about the warfare of Spirit-filled believers, warfare of Spirit-filled and believers. But you know what I'm thankful for, church, is that we don't have to be in this warfare alone. Amen. First of all, we're going to talk in a minute about how the Lord is with us and we're using the power of His might. But I'm also thankful that there's other Christians battling along with us. Amen. Isn't it good that when you have a little bit of battles in your life, trials in your life, that You've got some Christians in your life that God has placed there to be able to lift you up and encourage you in your time of need. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that there's some prayer warriors out there. Verse number 18, talk about praying always. I'm glad for prayer warriors out there. And listen, I have felt the power of prayer. I've seen the power of prayer. I've seen God work through prayer. And so we are thankful for those things. But let me just remind you today before we go any further, we are in a spiritual warfare church. The moment that you woke up today, you were in a spiritual warfare. I realize and am well aware of the fact that sometimes you wake up and we just don't feel like going to church. Right? And so that's a spiritual warfare where hopefully, and the fact that you're here is a good sign that says, you know what? I may not feel the best and maybe I've got a lot of things going on, but I'm still going to go to the house of God because I understand that I need some feeding from the Word of God. I need something from God today. And friend, if you didn't come into church today thinking that you don't need something from God, then what we're doing is we're relying on the power of our own might. Because I can admit to you today that I can't do it without the help of God. I can't do it without the power of God in my life. And I come here every day knowing that I need the help from the Lord. Otherwise, then what I'm doing is depending on the power of my own might. Amen? But yet the Word of God says that be strong in the Lord and the power. I'm glad I don't have to be strong in my own might. Amen? I'm glad that I don't have to be powerful in my own might. But just a reminder today, church, as we get into the message, I'm just telling you there is a spiritual warfare that we're battling every single day. And I'm glad, of course, that you're here. And maybe for those not able to be here, I'm glad that you're tuning in via live stream. But just understand and know that we are in a spiritual warfare today. Now, the first thing that we're looking at here is, and again, we're just kind of following down on the thoughts here. We're looking at the Christian's power. And that's what we're talking about mainly today in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, this is a very dangerous place to be if we are not very in tune or in keen with the Bible's telling us here. Just as I described, if we're not careful, church, we think that we have the knowledge and the ability to do things on our own, right? You know what I believe, church? I believe that anybody who teaches a class, you ought to pray and ask for the Lord's help. Anybody who sings a song, you know what? I believe that you ought to pray and ask for the Lord to use the message in the song to be a blessing, amen? I think that sometimes we get so concerned about the performance of the song that we forget about the message of the song. Amen? And if you heard the messages of the song today and put aside the performance, and for the record, I thought they all did a wonderful job. Amen? But what I'm saying is that it has a powerful message. I mean, when we think about going to see Jesus, when we think about going to see the Lord, tell me that's not an uplifting message, friend. Does that not encourage you? But even with all those things, we've got to live in a way, not just when we come to church to try to serve God, but every day that we wake up, we ought to wake up with the mindset, Lord, I cannot do this without your help. Lord, I cannot live life today without you at the very center, at the very foundation of who I am and what I am doing today. Why do we think it's so important, church, that the first thing that we do before we even talk to man, we ought to take time to talk to God? I like it over in Psalm 5:3 that the psalmist said, early in the morning will I call unto you. He's referencing the first thing that he's doing as he starts his day is not a cup of coffee. Now, I'm for that, by the way. Amen. I can support that cause. That's something I can get behind. I'm just saying that you ought to call on the Lord. Amen. I ask for God's help. Ask for God's direction. Don't get up in the way thinking, well, you know, I've got this today. Well, you've got it if the Lord helps you do it today. Amen? Because if you got this and you alone, friend, you're going to end up in some trouble, right? You're going to end up getting yourself discouraged. You're going to end up in a place where you allow the devil to come into your mind, just to attack your mind and start to discourage you and cause doubt in your mind. In fact, we were dealing with that latter part of the chapter in Sunday school today in our new discipleship class on simply overcoming sin. And it talked about there, that's part of the spiritual warfare. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Can I give you an example of what happens sometimes? Church, we often spend so much time worrying about things that never happen. We spend a lot of effort sitting up late at night and not being able to really just give it to God, worrying about things that never happen. Casting down imaginations, when the Bible talks about those things that we think about in our minds, the things that we wander in our mind, and then talks about every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And one of the things that we discuss is that when you get to the place where you feel like you're not cared for, you feel like you're not loved. Hey, friend, every person, I think, has battled that at some point in their life. Hey, man, even David, a man after God's own heart, at one place said, "No man careth for my soul." And I get what he's saying. I understand that. But friend, those are the kind of things that we, if we come into it, we start to line up our lives in the power of God, in the power of God's word, we're reminded. That verse says, against the knowledge of God. Well, we know that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the idea that nobody cares or loves for us is not true. We know that God loves us. We know that our church family loves us. We know that your extended family, and it doesn't mean that everything in the relationship is always perfect, but at the end of the day, I don't think you doubt or they doubt that they actually love you. So friend, that's an example. We've got to wake up. Lord, I need your help today. We call on God. Lord, I can't do this without your power. Lord, I can't do this without your anointing. Friend, we aren't afraid to live our lives and to serve the Lord without the power and anointing of God in our lives. In fact, you start to study out the life of the kings of Israel, and the very first king that was set up, of course, was King Saul before David. And there come a time in his life where I believe he had the power of God. He had the Spirit of God upon him. But you know what happened, church? There came a point where he started to rebel. He started to disobey the things of God. And the Bible even talks about that the Spirit left him and he didn't even know that it happened. Now, friend, that's a scary place to be. What I'm saying to you today, church, is that you can't get up and live your lives without the help of God, without the power of God, without the anointing of God in your life. God, help us to even walk and even start our days without asking for God's divine protection and wisdom and guidance. So the very first thing that we're talking about today, we're talking about the power of the Christian in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me say one more thing before I move on. Friend, your power is not in a church. Your power is not in a preacher or teacher. Your power is not in a particular person. Hey, they may encourage you. They might help you. I hope they do. But your power is in the Lord today. Amen. He's the one solid. He's the one that will never disappoint you. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We see, first of all, this morning, the believer's power. Let's talk for just a minute, and then we'll back up and look at a couple of the references. Here in verse 12, let's talk about the believer's enemies. The believer's enemies. Now, it says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now, who would be flesh and blood? Us, right? Us people. We're made of flesh and blood, are we not? "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, even though we try to." Help us, Lord. Amen. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now there it defines who our enemy is. And you would say, well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it, preacher? Not, well, I believe God wanted to remind us of it, so He put it right there in the Word of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what I've come to find out, friends? Something that will help you lose your power when you start fighting the wrong enemy. You're literally wasting energy. I mean, if we were to go to warfare and we were at war with a certain country, and I hesitate to even say names anymore because there's just so much going on. I don't know that we might end up at war with that country, so I know that sounds horrible. But if we end up at war with a certain country that is in a certain part of the earth, we're not going to go and attack a different country. Now, what sense would that make? Right? First of all, they're not the enemy. That's not who we're at war with. Why would we waste our time and our effort and our resources to go and fight a country that we're not at war with? Don't you realize, Christian, that's about the same thing that happens in spiritual warfare. We waste so much time. We waste so much energy fighting the wrong enemy. And at the end of the day, friend, we think, well, no, I'm again. Friend, somebody, well, it's interesting who we call our enemy. Somebody may have said something or been critical of you, or didn't like something that you did, and all of a sudden they become our enemy. Friend, they're not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. Spiritual wickedness and high, the devil and his demons are our enemy. Not one another. And we waste so much time, and nothing will help you lose the power of God quicker than even attacking the wrong enemy. The Bible reminds us here, church, who our enemy, who our foe is, and who we're at war with. It's not against each other. And oftentimes I've found this to be true. Whether it be in a family, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be in a church, you know what happens when things get tough and war first comes? You know what they start to do? They start to point fingers at each other.
So I
you
had
realize
to,
that's
I
the very worst
the,
thing.
I had
that
to get
you
the
do.
Advanced.
They start to play a blame game on each other. Friend, let me just remind you that you and I are not the enemy on each other.
No.
Friend, we're on the same team.
No, I'm good
we
now.
We look different.
Just that.
We act different.
Well, you're going to have to watch it
online.
We may
believe different on some things, but it doesn't mean that we're not still trying to serve the Lord together. We're still on the same team. You know something else I've learned just in trying to serve the Lord, church? That we don't have to be twins to be brothers. Amen. Ain't nobody here exact same. And in fact, I think God did that on purpose. It's not by accident. There's gifts and talents and abilities that you have. There's knowledge that you have that I don't have. Amen. But we don't have to be twins to be brothers. In fact, I mean, you're not going to agree with me on everything. I don't even agree with myself 100% of the time. Help me. Amen. Each other's not the enemy, friend. It's a reminder. We referenced that passage this morning in Sunday school. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, it doesn't say your spouse. He said, well, preacher, sometimes my spouse acts like the devil. I'm not talking about what they act like. And I'm not even saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that the Bible says your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It also tells us to not be ignorant of his devices, right? So we know, first of all, that the power of the Christian rests in the power of God. The second thing that we know is, or recognize this morning, is who our enemy is. The third thing we'd like to look at this morning is the Christian's armor. Aren't you glad that God didn't send us in a battle just without nothing? Amen. Go to verse 11 with me. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, before we get into talking just a little bit about the armor of God, let me say this. I appreciate that the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. I remember a preacher one time saying, in response to that verse, saying, you don't have to put on the whole armor of God, but you'll be sorry if you don't. Right? That's like going in the battle and saying, well, I'm good on this one. Let's say, for example, I have the helmet of salvation. I've been saved by the grace of God. And, you know, that makes sense because one of the common pieces of equipment that is assigned to any military would be some kind of helmet or head protection, right? That's a pretty critical place there to protect. Now, I realize that I may not have as much to protect as you do because there's just not a whole lot there. Amen. But nevertheless, it's a critical piece of armor. It's all right if you smile a little bit this morning, church. Amen. That's okay. But listen, we think, well, I've got part of the armor. I'm in good shape. Friend, the Bible reminds us to take the whole armor of God. When we don't take the whole armor of what God describes in His Word, we are literally leaving something exposed. We're leaving an easy target for the devil, right? And the wiles of the devil, as it describes there. And don't get me wrong, he is wily today. He is subtle. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what your temptations are. He knows what sin you may be prone to fall into. The devil is very well aware of that, church. But the Bible says in verse 13, going from 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore, says it again, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So the first thought that we see on why we put on the whole, so that you can stand in the evil day. And friend, we are living in evil days. Okay? Mark that down. And so part of the reasoning why God has the armor of God, and he emphasizes twice now to put on the whole armor of God, is that you can, so that you can stand in the evil day, so you don't fall. Do you know how many Christians fall away from serving God, living their lives for God, because they didn't have the whole armor of God in place as they should? They had something missing. Something was not there. Something was not right. And they had a place in their life exposed, and the devil took advantage of that opportunity. But he says there in verse 14, let's talk briefly for just a moment. We won't get too deep in it. I just want to give you some thoughts on it. In verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. Friend, if there's something that we need today, it's the truth. Right? We need the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Aren't you glad that you have a copy of the truth today? Amen. That is the Word of God, dear friend. This is the truth, right? This is the Word of God. Everything in this book is true. Everything in this book is right. It's without error. It's without conflict. And people read and say, well, no, friend, if there's a conflict, it's not a conflict with the Word of God. It's a conflict within ourselves. Yeah. Right. Amen. The Word of God is true. And friend, you know, what's funny is that oftentimes we say, well, always tell me the truth until it starts to get personal and it hurts us in a way, until the truth hurts, right? In fact, Paul asked the question, he said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? It often amazes me, church, how we'll go to a doctor. And I've never known of one person to ever go to the doctor and say, look, doc, just give it to me sweet. Doc, just tell me what I need to hear to make me feel better. Now, when it comes to our personal health, I don't personally know anyone that has ever gone to the doctor with that mindset or that perspective. Doc, just sugarcoat it for me. Just make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. If you've got a major sickness, if you've got a disease, if you've got something going on with you physically, internally, or externally, when it comes to your body, you want the doctor to give it to you straight. Do you not? I mean, if I'm in the doctor and I'm just hanging on by a thread, doc, just give it to me. Just tell me what's going on. If my heart could stop at any second now, and it could, if there's a logical reason that the doctor would say, listen, Mr. Sakairos, you have this condition or that condition, and your heart could stop at any moment. Okay. It's not what I like to hear, but it's certainly what I need to hear. If I've got a need for surgery and the doctor says, if you don't get this done, friend, you're going to die in just a matter of a short time. Okay, doc, I don't particularly like the idea of going under the knife, but if you think that's what's needed right now for a chance to prolong, then let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. How come when it comes to preaching to the Word of God, we don't have the same mindset, church? You say, yeah, I want the truth, preacher. Then we start to come and preach the truth. Then we start to say, hey, Christian, there's some things that need to be cut out of your life, or you're not going to survive, spiritually speaking. Then all of a sudden, we get offended. We don't get offended at the doctor for speaking the truth, but we get offended when a man of God tries to open up the Bible and speak to us the truth. Now, do we want to know the truth, or do we not? The reality is, church, there's some things that need to be cut out of our lives. The reality is that sometimes we're not able to stand in the evil day. And I get messages and calls of a preacher. I feel like I'm just falling apart. I feel like I just can't get any ground, spiritually speaking. I feel like I'm always under attack. Well, you probably are, because you've left yourself exposed. And friend, probably there's some things in your life that need to be taken care of. There's some things in your life that you need to make right with God. There's some things in your life that you need to make right with a brother or sister, a family member, a neighbor, somebody that need to be made right. And you know what? We've exposed ourselves. We've allowed there to be an open target for the devil. And we wonder why we're in a satanic attack. You know what, church? We are in a constant state of warfare. But if we're not careful, friend, I do believe personally that sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Honestly. I really sincerely believe with all my heart that sometimes we give him too much credit. The reality is, sometimes the trouble that we're in, and here's a little bit of truth for us, the mess that we're in, is not what the devil has done, but what we have not done or did. We have put ourselves in that own mess. And yet we fall, we get up in mess, we get it caught up in sin. Oh, the devil's been a friend. Who made the decision to participate in that sin? I have no doubt that the devil didn't that he tempted you or tried to seduce you or make you look that sin is great, grand, and beautiful, and it feels good, and all. I get that. But you still made the decision. You could have resisted the devil. As the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen. Don't give the devil too much credit. You know something else I want to say, church? I don't know any church across America that is trying to stand for the truth, since we're talking about the truth, that is not in direct opposition of the devil. If the devil has been attacking a place or a church, it's because most likely that church is standing on the truth. Friend, I see it throughout the country. I see churches battling and struggling. Don't think that it just happens here in Pinal County in Florence, Arizona. Friend, it's happening across the country. I see churches battling. I see churches that struggle. I see churches with opposition. And I believe it's because they're trying to stand for the truth in a day that does not actually want to hear the truth. Amen. It's not becoming as popular to open up the Word of God and preach from the Word of God. But yet the Bible says to be instant in season, out of season. You know what that means? Go ahead and preach the truth, whether it's popular or whether it's not popular. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. So we see here, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. Oh, how we need to stand on the truth of the Word of God. I'm thankful that we have it and have it on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I really believe, and again, there's so much that we could say. Really, you could do a study and really talk about each one of these individually, but I'm just trying to give you thoughts. So something to think about, pray about, hopefully help you and encourage you today. When we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, I believe, first of all, you know, we see throughout the Bible where it's really a work that God has begun in us, right? It's what God starts. But then it's also something that we have to actively engage in seeking after the righteousness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? That's what the Bible says. So I believe it's something that the Lord does, and I believe it's something that we have to actively understand that we need to live a life of holiness. We need to live a life of right living. In a short way, you could describe that as being righteousness. But it says on there, and you're having on the breastplate of righteousness. When you think about your loins, you think about your back and, you know, your lower section of your body with the truth. That's kind of a foundation or important area. And then you think about the breastplate of righteousness. You know, now, if I have a shield or armor right here, it's protecting what we call the vitals, right? That's a pretty important area. You know, just to speak of a couple, your heart and your lungs is there. Those are pretty, I mean, you got to have a heart to pump the blood. You got to have lungs to breathe, right? It's a pretty important area of the body that God has designed. And yet he uses the breastplate of righteousness in a spiritual sense to describe that, how critical it is. And friend, when we're not living right, it's exactly what we were just talking about. It's just an occasion and cause for the devil to come in. Friend, we've got to get back to not just believing the truth, but actually living the truth. You can believe in something and not do it. You know that, right? People believe all the time, well, preacher, I know I ought to be in church. That's great. Why aren't you? I hear it all the time. They know they need to be faithful to the house of God, but yet they're not. Right? So, have the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15. And your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, again, when you think about another piece of armor, if you will, or assigned equipment that is given, you know, they always put on good boots on them, don't they? They give them, you know, military boots. I think they're probably some of the best boots that you can find. They're durable. They're rugged. Their idea is to be for all terrain. I see soldiers, you know, going through the desert in those things, hiking up mountains in those things. I see them running in those things. I personally, as a runner, have a hard time with the idea of running in a boot. I feel like there'd be blisters everywhere, but nevertheless, they design them for that. They're kind of an all-purpose boot. They do. They do a lot of things. And so here, your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Friend, I mean, we have a gospel message that brings peace to this world that nothing else can. Do you understand that? There's no other peace that the gospel can bring. People come to us all the time and say, Pastor, I've got this problem. I got that problem, and that may be true. I'm not trying to minimize the problems that people have in their life. I'm just saying that the gospel brings peace. In fact, the Bible talks about the peace of God that passeth all understanding that you can't get from anything else. I think that's the biggest thing that a person needs to bring peace in their life. Something just to think about going on here. Verse number 11, or excuse me, 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, that's a pretty important tactic when it comes to warfare, right? It's obviously a defensive weapon. You know one thing that you're going to need when you're being attacked by the devil? You're going to need some strong faith. Amen? Say, how long has he been attacking people? Since the beginning of time. Very first, in the Garden of Eden, yea, hath God said. You realize that he was trying to question the Word of God. But you know, if you've got that shield of faith, and your faith is strong in the Lord, and your faith has been established in knowing not just what God said, but also what God has done in your life, friend. Well, that's pretty good protection when the devil tries to launch his wily darts at you. No, that's all right. I believe that God's going to see me through. Oh, this one's going to take you down. No, that's all right. God will see me through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they come, right? So, you know what I'm, you know, see what I'm saying? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Talking about putting up that shield of faith. The devil comes by, tries to attack, and tries to throw this dart at you. And sometimes, you know what he likes to do? He's trying to throw up your past sin. You're not worth nothing. Look at what's happened. Look at what you've done. Hey, you know what? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And boy, that old shield of faith sure comes in handy when it comes to dodging those darts, does it not? And verse number 17, take the helmet of salvation. And of course, we kind of touched on that earlier, pretty important piece part. And listen, if you're not saved, if you've not been saved by the grace of God, really the rest of this is really not going to help you at all. You can't get in really serving the Lord until you've been saved by the grace of God. Amen? So, I mean, again, if that's you today, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that you can. And there's no greater joy that we would have here at this church than to help you to come to know Christ in a personal way. Then it talks about the sword of the Spirit. I'm trying to get through these, church. Then it talks about the sword of the Spirit. What I find interesting about that one is when you think about a sword, as far as I can tell, that's the only offensive and defensive weapon that we find here in spiritual warfare, right? So a sword can be used to block a sword, or it can be used to block something, right, or to push aside in a defense tactic, but then it also can be used as an offensive. Do you remember, church, that when the devil came to tempt Christ, how he overcame him? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. Amen? He responded with Scripture. And for the record, the devil hates that. Man, he comes and tries to get you. He says, hey, man, you're not worth nothing. You're going to go to hell. Your salvation is not real and all these things. And you respond with the Word of God. Man, he don't like that. You start to quote Scripture, and man, the devil don't want to hear no Scripture. Hey, he don't want you to know no Scripture. I wonder why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. There's something to knowing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, that when it comes to the devil attacking you, it goes against the knowledge of God, and yet you bring the knowledge of God into it, of what you know as being true, friend. Oh boy, you talk about resisting. Now you've defended yourself, and you've gone a little bit on the offensive as well. Now take that, devil. Hey, you know what, devil? You don't like this part. I know you're doomed. I've read the back of the book, and we win. Amen? Amen. And death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Hey, that's part of his doom. Amen. Poke it back at him. You're not going to win. Devil, you can't. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then we see in verse 18, praying always. This is what we call the Christian's resource. You know, we've talked about the Christian's power, the Christian's enemy, the Christian's armor, and the last thing that we're looking at today is the Christian's resource. You know, one of the things that I do like about our military is that we've got a lot of resources, right? And we could talk about, you know, we don't have as much as we used to. I get that. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that we still have a lot of resources, don't we? If some of our ground troops are in trouble, they can call for air support, can't they? If some of our ground troops are in trouble, if there's a naval battleship near enough, man, they could give them coordinates. It amazes me. They could give them coordinates and drop a bomb on somebody's head over there to help protect our ground troops. That's a resource. Praise God for that. We've just talked about the armor of God, but do you realize that Christians have a resource too? Did you know that? Here it is. Praying. Let me call. There you go, Dana. Let me call on the big guns. You know what? I can't fight this battle alone, but you know what? I know somebody who can. I can't do this alone, but you know what? Let me call. Hey, do you really want me to call my father? Man, that'll get you excited. Yesterday, my wife and I were going on a little trip. We wanted to kind of go, and I wanted to take her out, and I love the sunsets, and sometimes I just like to surprise her with an ice cream. Don't tell her I kind of wanted one too, but you know. She said, I told her it was for her, but I, you know, never mind. I was doing good, Brother Eccles. I might be getting behind now. But we went out, and I seen my neighbor walking out of his house, and boy, he was just marching. You know, I've tried to be an encouragement. I've tried to be a witness to this gentleman. I want to see him to come to know Jesus, by the way. So anytime he does anything, I try to say hello, try to be kind, and try to offer, you know, any way I can help. And I seen him, boy, he was just marching, and it looked like he was making a beeline. I said, hey, brother, I said, you all right? Everything okay? He said, oh, man, I got to go over here and deal with some kid drama. I said, okay. Not that long ago, the police had been called over to our neighbor's house and this and this and that. You know how teenagers can get sometimes. It is what it is. You got to understand, my neighbor's a big man. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, he's just a big man. In other words, I don't want to mess with him. I'm glad he's my friend, right? I'm trying to back him up, okay? And if an intruder come in, I need his backup, right? You with me? So I'm thinking, man, how intimidating would that be if these teenagers are sitting here causing problems? He's got small children, older children. I would not want to see that father coming down the street after me. So we ended up getting in the car and driving down that street. We literally were on our way out. I just was kind of making sure everything's okay. And then he was walking back. He just kind of had a grin. I was like, everything okay? He said, yep, it's fine. Just kid drama. That's it. And he started laughing. I got to thinking about this verse. You know, we are like that man's children. Get into a pickle somewhere. One of his kids had ran back to the house and called daddy. Daddy gets up and he immediately marches to help. If I'm the devil, I don't want to see our Lord marching down the street saying, I hear you've been messing with one of my children. Uh-oh. You with me?
Yeah.
That is the Christian's resource. The devil does not want you to call on your heavenly Father. Because when God comes marching down the street, stuff starts to happen, okay? People start to get eliminated, okay? You are a child of God, and you're under a divine protection of God.
Amen. Amen.
And man, the devil. You know what the trouble is, though? See, all that wouldn't have happened if one of those children had not ran back home and called daddy. Somebody had to call daddy. He said, well, that's a great resource. How come? Because you didn't call him. Because you didn't call him. Have we ever seen where God went? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer. Mm-hmm. We didn't call him. Man, if I had that resource, I'd use it. Man, if I got myself in a pickle and I had a daddy like my neighbor, I don't think I wouldn't call. Then why we as Christians, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. That means that we're looking out for one another as well, not just for ourselves. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's our resource, friend. There's the air support. You want to call it air support? That's fine. There's our daddy, however you want to call it. There's the big guns. However, you can call it whatever you want. I'm just telling you, that's the Lord. Why would you not want to call on Him? When you're in the midst of the battle, when you're facing the fiery darts of the devil and he's doing everything he can to discourage you and to fight you and oppress you and to keep you down, why would you not call on your Heavenly Father when you know that this is a resource that we as Christians have, that nobody else in the world has? This is a unique privilege that God has given us to call on Him. I love what the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen? Maybe this morning, church, let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. And maybe this morning, church, what you need to do, get on your face before God. Say, God, I need to spend some time calling on You today. I've been in the spiritual fight. I've been in the battle. I've been discouraged. I need to call on my resource, which is You, Lord. God, I need Your help. Lord, would You help me? Friend, we need God today more than we have ever needed Him before. We need the power of God, the direction of God, the armor of God, the wisdom of God, the guidance of God, the help of God, the grace of God. Friend, we just need God. And maybe today, friend, won't you come? Won't you come and call on Him today? Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How about you, friend? God is speaking to hearts. Several have already come to pray. I want you to know that this is a time of invitation from the Lord. Would you come now? Would you come now and give it to Him today? If there's one here today that's never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, maybe you'll come this morning and maybe you'll say, "Lord, I'm tired of trying to do it alone. I'm lost and on my way to hell. I need You today, Jesus. Come down to the old-fashioned altar. Ask for forgiveness of your sins and ask Him to come in your heart and save you." We'll do our best to help you today, friend. Somebody will take a Bible. If that's you today, friend, with every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment, nobody looking around, say, "Preacher, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure." Anybody at all? Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking around. Live stream's not on you. Nobody's looking around. Just me, you, and the Lord. I'm going to pray for you. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Pray for me, Pastor." Anybody at all? Maybe you'll say this morning, "Preacher, I've been under spiritual warfare.